Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, part of the many valuable services provided to you by the Forever Family Foundation. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and I have the honor and privilege of being here once a month, unless there's exceptions, of course, to host this show where we get to tap into the mindset and the brains of these very accomplished mediums. Tonight is no exception. Connie Fisella is an amazing certified psychic medium and spiritual teacher who specializes in connecting people with their departed loved ones through evidential messages that aim to bring comfort, healing, and proof of life after death. She has had conscious experience of spirit communications ever since childhood, and has even survived three near-death experiences, which she says deepen her connection to the other side. Connie is certified by the Forever Family Foundation, and she's also certified by an organization called Helping Parents Heal. And she offers private group, public readings, Zoom, phone, or in person, along with many workshops, lectures. And she also has a podcast called Heaven Is Just a Conversation Away. By the way, listeners, as always, tonight's show is for research and information purposes, so your questions are welcome, but Connie's not going to be performing any readings tonight. So we've been, opening it up to questions from the audience and from emails that we receive. But if you do have any questions for our esteemed guest, Connie, please feel free to call. The number is 1-800-627-6008. It's 1-888-627-6008. Without further ado, Connie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Roman. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you were a first-time person. Well, maybe not the first time on the show, because you might have appeared when I was on vacation or something like that.
Right.
But good. Pretty much, going to talk about you a little bit. I want to find out a little bit more about you. Can you like tell us how it all started for you, the whole mediumistic thing?
Yeah. So for me, it started at the age of four, and it happened. Wow. It's a long story, but hours. But what happened was I'm from originally upstate New York, from the Wappingers Falls, like Poughkeepsie area. And we had a basement where the laundry room was. And so every Saturday, my mom, would do laundry. That was the Saturday chore. And I would follow her around, of course. And so one Saturday, as she was coming back up the stairs, I followed after her. And like the hairs on my neck stood up, and I just felt like something behind me. And I turned to look, and in the far corner of the room, I saw an old man standing there. So of course, this scared the bejeebies out of me, right?
Of course, when you're four,
Yeah, and I rushed past my mom, rushed up the stairs, went into my room, pulled the covers over me. I was shaking. I was crying. I didn't know what happened. And, part of the story why I was so terrified was that where the old man was standing in the far corner of the room was in front of a door, that behind that door was the furnace room. And so I didn't know that, but my father, in order to keep me from going in that area, made up this story that there was a monster. And my dad would talk just briefly about it. My dad was born in Italy, so he had a very thick accent, but the Italian slang for a monster is Momo. So he told me there was a Momo behind this
Oh.
door and never open it. So now, you can imagine I see this old man standing here and I'm thinking, my
Oh my
God, I
God.
see the Momo, right? So there's a lot going on here. I never said anything about it. And of course, I just kind of rationalized I must have seen a shadow or whatever. And of course, next weekend, laundry day, same thing happens. I see him again. And this continued for a few weeks. And then it sort of became a little game for me. I'd go down there, I'd see if he's there, he was there, I'd wave, I'd run into the laundry room. And I never said anything. And so finally, after a few times, as I was going back up the stairs, I turned to look to see if he was still there. My mother said, Connie, she noticed I wasn't right behind her. She says, come on, what are you looking at? And because I'm looking across the room and I point at the old man and she's like, there's nothing there. Come on, come on. So now I'm really confused, right? So I just figured that there was actually an old man living in the basement and it was some family secret. Because obviously, I thought to myself, my mother surely saw the old man just like I did, right? And she didn't say anything. So this is what my little 4-year-old brain was kind of processing. So I never spoke about it, and then I stopped seeing him. But shortly after that, I had a little stuffed animal, a little lion cub named Leah. I carried her everywhere. Well, all of a sudden, Leah did this wondrous thing. She started talking. So I started hearing spirit, but I thought it was my little stuffed animal talking to me. So that's how it all started with me.
So you had clairvoyance and clairaudience, pretty much.
Yes.
And you still have those abilities today, like with the seeing and the hearing?
Absolutely. I lost them when I began first grade. I went to private Catholic school for 8 years, and all of those senses except for the knowing. The knowing always stayed with me, and I kind of sailed through almost right through, graduating high school, pretty much a straight A student. I never studied. I never had to bring home a book. I just knew things, so that was a great assist for me. But I forgot who I was. I didn't come from a family that talked about psychics or mediums. So this wasn't in my frame of reference. And, when I was little and I was talking to my stuffed animal, I thought, everybody did that. So, I just forgot after a while. And so, I truly believe that the universe, my team of light on the other side, my soul, decided to wake me up, to get me to remember what my soul's true purpose was. And that's why I had the three near-death experiences, because they did just that.
It's well, I'm glad you're on this side of the grass, that's for sure.
Yes,
I mean, it
yes.
must have been scary, like accidents or whatever, but well, I'm glad that the near death thing. I myself had an OBE once, twice. Once a little bit, they were very short-lived, like they were like 10 seconds maybe, then you realize it and you freak out and you're back in,
Right,
So, and
right.
that kind of happened both times. The first time I probably lasted 5 seconds, second time maybe 10 seconds. So I definitely know that consciousness can separate from the physical body. The body
Right,
is just a
right.
host, because without consciousness, your body's dead. It just it
Exactly.
ceases to live, the
Right, it's
life
just a
force.
vessel. Yep.
It's just, yeah, we are like meat puppets, but with spirit in it, kind of,
Right.
Yeah, that's it's
Right.
pretty crazy. Yeah, so you said you're from upstate New York. I'm in Albany. That's where I am.
So you know where Poughkeepsie is.
I know very well. Yeah, we always take the car there and take the MTA from Poughkeepsie to go to New York City.
I did that commute for 2 years, but out of New Hamburg, the next stop down. Yes.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about like some of your like how you prep for a session, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. So what I like to do is I start my days kind of trying to do something to quiet my mind. So I always disclose this. I think people think it's a little unusual, but I can't meditate. Okay, I'm very high strung. My mind goes 100 miles an hour. I go, 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 go. I find it very hard just to really, relax. I never stay
You're
still.
Italian.
Yeah, it's not my personality, right? So what I do is I like walking in nature. I have my husband and I have e-bikes, so we'll especially now we recently moved in, there's a lot of great bike trails. So I usually start off the mornings, doing anywhere from 12 to 20 miles in the morning, and that's when I just kind of set my mind, and I'm not really thinking about anything, but I kind of just say things like I'm grateful, I'm blessed, I'm healthy, I'm loved, I'm safe. I do these like, I am, and I just kind of, give my thanks for everything that I have in my life, and I just put it out there and just say if there's anything I need to know, keep me on my path. And it's pretty informal. I change it up every day, but I kind of do that every day to ground myself and just, I want to always give thanks. So I do that. And then when I have a reading, I usually take about 10 minutes before, and I sit there and I usually focus on the first name, and I sit there and I just ask spirit, be with me, tell me what I need to know to help, whoever it is, my client, and I usually have a pen and a paper, and I kind of scribble, and sometimes I'll get things like months or numbers or names as I'm just sitting here thinking, and then I'm ready, for the reading. It's private sessions. When I do the large groups, I really try to make sure, I call it good spiritual hygiene. I try to make sure, I have a really good night's sleep. I try to make sure I'm eating, the right way, to sustain my energy for a long period of time. So I do all those things to make sure, I'm in the best possible form of energy energetically,
Of course,
for my
yeah.
clients.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. So let me see. We can ask we got some questions that were emailed in, and maybe you
Sure.
can All right. So I got this one question. It's from a while ago, but I never got to it, so I'll get to it now. My son, age 40, suddenly passed away May 8th, 2020 of an accidental overdose. Since then, I've received over 50 after that communications from him. But my most astounding ADC was when 6 months after he passed, I picked up my cell phone and just on a whim recorded, "I love you, Kylie. Can you say mama?" And I immediately played it back, not expecting anything, but my jaw fell to the floor when I heard, "I love you, Kylie. Can you say mama?" Click, click. Then in another voice, lower, she heard mama. It just, she just sat there stunned. So this is like, how often do audio ADCs like this happen? Could a sound engineer or analyze it? Would there be anything indifferent in the sound frequencies? My question for the show is if, how do you know for sure if you have mediumistic abilities? Do you have to be told by a medium that you're called to do it? Or is there something one can do to refine these abilities if they believe that they have them? Is there a clear sign that you are meant for this work?
Okay, there's a lot of
There's a
questions
lot to
there.
unwrap there. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the afterlife communication over the telephone, that happens quite a bit. Spirit is very clever. A lot of spirits will use electronics, the phones, the lights will flicker, things like that, sounds and messages that way, or people will all of a sudden like get a text or something funky happens with the TV or radio. So that's common. Can anyone be a medium? Absolutely. Are people, some people better than others are prone to it? Absolutely.
Just like
Okay.
any other art.
Just like anything else. Okay. To be a medium, if you want to be a medium, how do you do that? You start taking classes and you practice, practice, practice. Okay. I would say the number one thing of being a medium is, one, you need to be in a good place in your life, meaning you can't try to start this work and feel overburdened and stressed out in the middle of all these projects where you can't focus the time that you need to quiet your mind. And again, it doesn't have to be meditation, it can be listening to music, it can be yoga, painting, whatever it is, but you have to have that time, okay? Because you have to build a relationship with spirit. Okay. And then once you do that, because people don't realize, and I always tell this joke, like mediumship is two-way communication. Okay. And I always say, if I were just to sit here and say that I hear voices in my head all day long, am I a medium? No, I'm probably crazy, right? So the key is that I can hear those voices. I'm clairaudient, but I have to be able to then discern that information and go back and say, okay, why are you showing me that? What does that mean? Give me more information. Who are you? How did you pass? Who are you here for? What's important to you? Right? So you have to have that dialogue, and that's the key to being a medium. And it's about raising your vibration or your energy, and that's why you have to be in a place that is good for you, where you're able to have a high level of energy or vibration. And then spirit needs to lower the vibration a bit so you can meet in the middle. And that's how spirit communication takes place. But it's a lot of work. It is not easy. Sometimes, I'm a natural born medium, but not to say that, I didn't have to take, years to kind of, develop myself and understand my flow and how things come to me. Every medium is unique and everybody's different. So one, I encourage the creativity, the uniqueness, and also the originality, but you really have to apply yourself and practice, practice, practice.
So when you were going to to your elementary and high school, and the Catholic schools and all of that kind of stuff, you really didn't practice your mediumship at that point. But you just said earlier that you had just the knowing part of it
Right.
remain or whatever. So, no spirit during that time. Is it like a valve that you shut off during that time just to focus on other
No.
things or?
What happens is, and you hear this a lot, especially stories with young children, they have their invisible friends or they see spirit, right? And then when
Oh,
you
yeah.
start school, you that gets shut off, or it gets a little bit dormant, because when you're doing mediumship work, you're in your right brain, right? The creativity side. When you start school, you're using your left brain, reading, writing, arithmetic, right? That takes over. So it suppresses that right brain. So that's what happened to me. And again, not coming from an environment where anybody would foster this, one, I never
Right,
spoke
yeah.
about it, right? It just shut down for me. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s that things started happening again, and that was after the near-death experiences, that those gifts of seeing and hearing started to reactivate.
Right. So that during your NDEs, did you actually, you saw your physical body lying there, that kind of thing? Did you have that kind of experience?
Absolutely. They were all they all occurred due to adverse or allergic reactions to medication. And the first one, I went into anaphylaxis, and I had my first near-death experience was in the form of a life review with a non-human entity. Brought to the hospital, couldn't breathe. Next thing you know, I'm in this room, sort of, but there's no walls, ceilings, floors, nothing, windows, just white light. And I'm on the floor with my legs crossed, but there's no floor, it's just whiteness, right? And then this very tall being glowing with all this whiteness comes towards me and just places this very large book on my lap. And as I look down at the book, the pages start turning automatically. And I saw from the time I was born to present day, which was early 20s, and I saw all the people, the events that happened, the emotions that were felt. So I had a life review. When I came to, when I was discharged and I went home, I told my mom that I had this really cool dream. So this is mid 1980s now, right? So nobody's talking about NDEs, right? It's not happening yet. And of course, I had no idea, just thought I had a cool dream. So I didn't even know really until I became a medium and started learning about things, you know, like, oh my gosh, you know, not only did I have one near-death experience, but I had three.
Wow. So that was your first one.
That
That
was
that's
my
amazing.
first one. Yeah.
All
And
right, you
then
know my next
since
question.
Yeah, well, shortly after that, what started happening is after that NDE, I started experiencing sleep paralysis. Do you know what that is?
where you can't move
Exactly. You're between the dreaming
because,
and awakening state and you're frozen. And sometimes it's terrifying. You want to scream and you can't get up and you're trapped like in your body and you're frozen. So this was happening a lot. And every time that these episodes would come on, they were in the same format and that I would be laying in the bed on my back. Next thing you know, I would hear this like white, like a vibration, like a humming vibration sound in my head. And then I would see myself come out of my body in spirit form and try to,
OBE.
yeah, and try to raise myself up, right? And I kept hearing this voice all the time repeating that you need to raise yourself up, you need to raise yourself up, repeating, repeating, repeating. And then I'd come out of it, and of course I'd say to myself, yeah, of course I need to raise myself up. I can't move, I can't, you know, move. And I never understood. So this happened for several months, right? Always the same format. And then I never knew all these years till many years later, and I became a medium that literally my soul, my team on the other side, my team of light were literally handing me the keys to the afterlife to try to get me to communicate like I used to do when I was little, because they were telling me, you need to raise yourself up, meaning my vibration again.
Vibration.
And I didn't understand. So, you know, I kind of joked that, you know, message went unanswered. And so 2 years later, near death experience number two comes. This one was more medically intensive, another reaction to medication. I was working in New York City at the time. And by the time I got off the train and was walking to my office in Midtown Manhattan, my heart was racing and beating hard, and I was sweating. And
Oh
I get to
boy.
my office, and my coworker's like, oh my God, you don't look good. And make a long story short, I get rushed to the hospital, into the emergency room. Next thing you know is, you know, I hear all the beeping and the noises and people around me. And the next thing, I'm floating on the ceiling out of my body, and I'm watching the emergency personnel work on me. And I see the doctor grab defibrillators, place them on me, and I see my body like jumping, you know, off the stretcher, you know, like a rag doll.
Wow.
And then the next thing I realize is that I'm in a tunnel. And I describe the tunnel as if anybody's had an MRI, a closed MRI. That's how small it felt to me. And it felt like I was on a Disney World simulation ride. You know, those rides where you think you're going fast, but you're
Super
actually.
fast, yeah.
That's what it felt like. I was on my back, feet first, in this tunnel, all bright light. I wasn't afraid, just like the first time. That same humming white vibration noise comes over. And as I get closer and closer to the end, this bright, bright light, I'm excited. I'm filled with joy. I just can't wait. I feel like I'm going home. I just remember all these great feelings. And then I get to the end, and my feet touch what I call the glow, which was the actual end of the tunnel, and they sunk into it like it was jello. And as soon as I did that, it was like zoom. I woke up. And the doctors, I woke up and the doctors came around and told me that I had gone into ventricular cardiac arrest. I had flatlined.
Wow.
Brought me back. Yeah.
And they brought you back. Wow. That is so fascinating. I mean, I'm glad, obviously we're everyone's glad, the world's a better place with you in it for sure. But wow, did you experience anything else during that third and near death experience? Just like the tunnel and then you're like there and out. Like
Yeah, that
nobody
was the
talked to
second
you.
one. Yeah, no, I didn't see
So the
anybody. I
second one,
just,
okay.
I touched into the glow, and then again, and then, I thought, oh, what another cool dream. Again, not realizing, what happened to me. But something else changed. So a few weeks later, after I went home and recuperated, I went back to work. And then one day at my lunch hour, I had a routine. I worked in New York City. I had to grab lunch quickly. I usually walked within a 1 or 2 block radius. One day I just start going in a different direction, just randomly. And I end up in front of a psychic store. And the big flashing light, psychic, right? So I go in and I ask the guy at the desk, hey, what's this? What happens here? And the guy's like, oh, well, these people tell your future, your fortune. So of course I'm immediately drawn because my soul knows, like, this is me, right? This is part of me, go in here. So I get a reading, and of course it was nothing to talk about, but I was hooked. So I was going, a few times a month, getting these readings. There was something that was happening. So as I commuted now from New Hamburg to New York, which was 2 hours one way, as I would sit next to people on the train or walk, or take a subway or bus, whatever it was I was doing that morning, I started hearing names and seeing little visions. So now this was happening more and more and more, and I'm like, okay, what is happening here? So I had to find out. So without looking like a real weirdo, right? So I would hear a name, and I'd say to the person next to me, if I hear Frank, so I turn to the guy next to me. I'm like, oh, you look really familiar. We should Frank, the guy would say, no, but that was my father's name and he's passed. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody else. And this was happening. I was hearing names associated with the people next to me, but the people that were passed. So this was very strange. Or I'd see a quick vision and it would t be tied to them, like the name of the restaurant or a street they lived on, or something. It was just so after going for readings, after several months to this place in 1991, this is where we are now. I buy my first deck of tarot cards from it because I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I have something going on here. I'm going to use these cards because I was watching these people do the readings. In my mind, I'm thinking they're reading the definition, they're putting the card down, and they're just saying what the card means, right? Anybody could do that. This is what I'm thinking. And I get the cards and I read the definitions and nothing. Read them again, nothing. So this was very frustrating to me because I told you I could sail through high school. I could read a book like this in half an hour and ace a test. But why can't I read this little piece of paper with, like, all these definitions on it? So I put them away, the cards. I didn't want anything to do with them. And they sat in this little box of miscellaneous junk in the bottom of my closet for over 10 years. And then after 10 years, and nothing was happening during those 10 years, I wasn't seeing anymore. I wasn't hearing anymore. I was going through some things in my life. I had to do what I call a lot of soul evolution. And I had to start getting rid of people, places, things, negative things that were not serving me. And I had to do a lot of work on myself. And when I fixed those things, that's when my third near-death experience happened.
Tell us about that.
So this was another after effect of surgery and medication. And then the next thing I find myself in these beautiful, rolling, fluffy clouds. And then the clouds kind of you part, and I'm in this beautiful meadow with bright flowers and golden sun, just gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, bright, shiny, colorful. And then these little children come running towards me, a group of them, and I'd say they're about kindergarten age, and they grab my hands on either side, and then we start dancing in a circle, like a ring around the rosy type of dance, and we're singing this song. And now I know the words, the tune to the song, but it's nothing that I learned on the earth. It's not an earthbound language. And I'm so happy and I'm joyful, and we're singing and dancing. And then all of a sudden the children stop and they kind of part on either side of me, and they look. And as I follow their gaze in front of me, this man walks towards me. Now, I was raised Catholic. This man, for all intents and purposes, I know him to be Jesus. And he comes towards me and he says, do you like it here? And I said, I love it here. But I look around, and now at this point in my life, I was a single mom of two small boys under the age of 6. So I say, well, where are my children? And he says, "Well, it's not their time yet." And I'm like, "Okay." And then the children grab my hands and we sing and dance and we go on and on and on. And then they stop again. And Jesus looks at me again. And the thing that I remember most that was so intense about this interaction was Jesus's eyes, because they were like the ocean and they changed colors. They were like brown and gold and green and turquoise and blue. And when he looked at me, it wasn't like he was just looking at me or through me. I knew when he looked at me that he knew the whole of me. That I was loved, that I was safe, that I was accepted. And not just the whole of me, but on a soul level, this life, past lives, future lives, like he knew everything. And I just knew that. And he asked me again, "Do you like it here?" And of course, I said, "Well, I love it here." And again, asked, "Where are my children?" And he said, "Well, it's not their time yet. And it's not your time either. You have yet to become who you were meant to be." And with that, I wake up. And of course, thinking again, okay, well, that was a cool dream, but like thinking to myself, well, who am I supposed to be? What does that mean, right? And the answer would come a few weeks later.
And what happened a few weeks later?
I got a random call from a lady that was organizing a psychic fair in South Florida. I don't know how she got my number. She was short readers, asked if I would do the fair on Saturday. This was a Thursday afternoon. I said yes. And before that, I committed. I ran into my closet, looked through that box that I still had of junk, and those tarot cards were still in there that I bought in 1991. Okay, I think this was like 2001, 2002 now. And I commit to doing this. Saturday morning rolls around and reality sets in for Connie, and she says to herself, "Oh my God, like, what are you doing? Like, I had to read." Like, so I start freaking out. I'm sweating, I'm nauseous, but I never stand anybody up. If I commit to something, I will do everything I can, right? Short of, having a real emergency.
Of course.
So my plan was, is I was going to show up and tell this poor lady, "I'm sorry, I can't do this, but I'll serve coffee, I'll greet people in, I'll do something." And when I got there and she put me in the room and I went to tell her, like, "Oh, sorry, I can't do this," she wasn't having it. She's like, "N I, no, I need you. I'm short. You need to do readings." And I was a little terrified of her, actually. So I was like, okay. So I sat there and just prayed that nobody would come my way. And about 15, 20 minutes later, a middle-aged woman, well, I'd say she was like in her mid-50s, came in and she wanted a reading. I had no idea what to do. I started to panic. I got the cards. I started putting them down nervously in this circle. And then I start putting some in the middle and I just keep going, going. I use all 76 cards without saying a word. And so she says, "Are you ever going to say anything?" And so I look down at this pile of mess that I made, and the strangest thing happened. An electric shock came into the top of my head in the crown area and just reverberated through my whole body. And when I looked down at these strange piles of cards that I made on the table, I started to talk and I said to her, "There's something about a family secret that like has come to light, and this has to do with somebody passing." And then I see communication from like legal paperwork from a lawyer or somebody in a legal position, and then there's a trip like overseas to Europe somewhere, and then I see this big windfall, like a huge windfall of money coming to you, and this trip's in the next 2 weeks to 2 months. I said, "Do you understand any of this?" And she says, "Well, actually, I just found out a couple of weeks ago that I was adopted. And a lawyer from Europe called me because my biological father had passed, and I am the sole heir to his estate, and I'm leaving in 2 weeks to go collect my inheritance."
Wow, you nailed it.
I nailed it. And so she was like so impressed. She's like, "Go on, go on." And of course, I went on and told her more stuff that she verified. She was like, "Wow, that was like one of the best readings that I ever had." And she left and she was so happy. And I ran to the bathroom and threw up.
Incredible.
Started reading.
Wow. So I'm sure you've had family members that passed and all that kind of stuff. So there's mediums just like anybody else go through the grieving process and all of that. But as a medium, like, can you like just call up your family members that have passed and have a conversation with them anytime you want?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I started doing, readings, and then they turned into medium readings. I discovered that's really, who I am. I always felt a little bit like a fraud because I hadn't lost anybody close to me. I mean, I had lost grandparents, but I didn't have a, a close connection to anyone.
Right.
And it wasn't until my dad passed, I want to say 2008. It's terrible now, I don't know the date. No, 2018, I'm sorry. So that all of a sudden everything came together, because all of a sudden my readings even like just accelerated in the quality of them, because it was like I had that other piece, right? That empathy. And I did have empathy for my clients, but I didn't feel it like I knew they were feeling it, right? So I had that missing piece. So that was very helpful. So with communicating with my parents, I get signs for them. There's specific signs, especially one from my dad. I actually saw the sign almost 2 years before he passed. It was the number 444, and it was coming every which way, hitting me. And I knew somehow I had something to do with my dad. I just knew that intuitively. And I started to journal it because it was just like almost every day in some format. And so I wrote down four. And when I do my readings, they give me months and the dates the same way. So four is April, right? Or four children, or the month of April. So I wrote down four equals April. And then four plus four plus four is 12. So I wrote down like 2 years. What is April 12th? My father passed on April 12th, 2 years later.
Wow.
So the 444 is a sign for me, from him. But I ask for signs. I get the signs, and I'll say different things. Show, drop a feather by my feet when I'm walking today, or something like that. So that's how I communicate, and it's more of a feeling. A song will come on, or I happen, and then I'll well up, like I know they're right there with me. So, but it's not like full blown conversations. I mean, it's not like that with any communication, right? It's just little signs, little symbols, feelings and things like that.
Right. But I think from we they can hear our thoughts, and they can, we can communicate with them. They hear us clearly. It's just
Right.
for us, it's very hard to breach that veil, and only certain people
Right.
can do it. Yeah. So when are you still experiencing the clairaudience and the seeing, like, what people look
Yeah.
like and stuff like that,
Yeah.
and
I
able to
see
describe
them.
them?
Yeah. I see them like sometimes as holograms. Sometimes I'll see pictures, images. And sometimes if I don't see it visually, it's just a knowing, like I'll know they have dark hair. I know they're short, or I'll feel their body, the weight on their body. So I am clairvoyant, clairseeing, I'm clairaudient, I'm clairhearing. I'm also clairsentient, clairfeeling. I usually know
Okay.
how they passed,
Yeah.
and their
Okay.
state of emotions before they passed. So I can identify, okay, yes, they died by suicide. Yes, they were in an accident. This was illness. So I can feel, usually I can feel depression, I can feel addiction, I can feel those different states.
Very, very interesting. No, that's great. So, tell us a little bit about what is your take on, many lives and past lives, future lives, reincarnation? I know, they took it out of the Bible because they wanted to control the masses. There was that whole
Right.
book of Daniel that dealt with it. And but what are your thoughts on that? Have you?
Yeah, I definitely believe in reincarnation. I've actually had past life regressions, and believe it or not, I actually have one about a right. Well, I'm gonna do a shameless plug right here, okay?
Okay, do it, do it.
I'm an award-winning author of my book, You Are So Beautiful, A Unique Perspective into the Soul's Quest for Its Destiny, which talks about my whole story and my NDEs and how I did
Oh,
this.
wow.
But it also points out a past life regression. And I talk about my master guide that I met when my dad was having surgery in the hospital many years ago, when I first tried to start being, learning mediumship. And then I had a past life regression. And when I was several years ago, over 20 years ago, when I met my guide, he said to me, "For as long as there have been stars in the heaven, we've been waiting for you." And I never understood what that meant. And then I had this past life regression, like I guess it's about 2 years now. And in the past life regression, I am a boy in Egypt. I do have ties to Egypt from past lives and Isis. It's all in my book. I have a connection to Isis as well. But like a long story short, I'm a little boy and I'm in Egypt and I start wandering through the desert because I lost my family and I'm doing odds and ends and just trying to survive. And I come across this tribe that's settled in Egypt. And as I'm going, I'm now, in my, maybe 18, 19 years old. As I'm going through the desert, this man comes from this tribe to greet me as I'm getting near to the settlement there. And I recognize him as my master guide. And so I'm in my past life regression, and it all makes sense to me because he's like, basically welcome. And now I understood, as long as, there have been stars in the heaven, we've been waiting for you because I had a past life connection with my guide, my master guide, who is Jacob from the Bible.
Pretty awesome. Hey, you know what? We got some callers.
Sure.
We got two callers actually. So we're going to start with Gloria from New York on line one. So Gloria, welcome. Welcome to the
Hi.
show. Hi.
Oh,
Hi,
hi.
Gloria.
I'm so glad to, hi, glad to hear you and so glad to hear your personal experience unfolding. And I guess when I first tuned in, the show was a little on and off, and you were talking about the near-death experience. And I was wondering, you guys both having talked about this and listened to a lot of folks, if there are things that everyone seems to experience in near-death experience and other things that seem quite personal, maybe have a symbolic meaning for each individual, I'm thinking as you tell your story. But yeah, I'm wondering because I also had a near death where I was in a coma for a while, and things that I remember, like I kind of remember a tunnel, I kind of remember a meadow, and I kind of remember family members, and and then hearing it's not my time yet. But yeah, I wondered if there are visualizations that everyone seems to remember, and if you can just briefly talk about that, and then other things that might be clairvoyant about the world ahead. Like I kept hearing names, and of they were Spanish names. And shortly after I got a job, I'm a social worker, clinical social worker, and a therapist, and I was working in the Bronx, and they were the names of these boys, these young boys that were my
Wow,
clients that I was helping, so it was
absolutely. So,
really wonderful.
yeah, those are good questions. And I know, so many people that have had NDEs, somehow come back with gifts or are a little bit more, have heightened senses, right? Psychic senses because of that experience of touching, on the other side. But some of the common things are, the tunnel, the meadow, wondering where their family members are, like children, like I was looking for my children. Or being shown, depending on what your life was like. I know a lot of people have talked about they were shown how to live a better life. Maybe they weren't at the time. So there are some commonalities. I'm also a speaker for IANS, the International Association for Near Death Studies. So I've presented for them the last couple of years. So I do hear a lot of these, different stories. Mine, I thought, was a little bit different than some because I never saw family members in any of my NDEs. They were really all three of them specifically geared toward waking me up and becoming a medium and doing this work, to help the bereaved. So it was like that I didn't get the message the first, first time, the second time. So it was like, wow, they really had to hit me hard, I guess, to have my eyes opened again. But there are people have different experiences, but there are a lot of commonalities for sure.
Okay. And Gloria, I would also recommend, if you haven't heard of this author, Raymond Moody, you probably
Yes.
heard of him. He's like the, the head of all of,
The father of NDEs.
yes, absolutely. His works are awesome. So
Well,
thank
that's
you. Thank
wonderful
you
to
for the
hear
call.
about. Yeah, thanks so much. A better experience coming. Okay, bye-bye. See
Bye-bye. Okay, and we have Tiffany from California on line three. Tiffany, welcome to the show and thank you for your patience.
That's okay. Hi, Roman. Hi, Connie. Hi,
Hi.
Tiffany.
And those are my dogs. Okay, quiet.
Hi,
Anyway,
dogs.
Connie, we're talking about your past life regression, which is you're so interesting, by the way. But
Yeah.
Thank you.
I could whether I heard you talk before saying that, well, when sometimes when you're doing readings, you sometimes see those that are in a person's past lives. Is that true? Does that happen? And how do you address that, if at all?
I don't see people in readings that are in people's past lives. I haven't done that.
Okay. Do you do past life regression yourself for others or?
I do not. I do not. No, I had it done by someone else.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a whole study on past life regression. I forget the author's name though, but Smith, I'm not sure. If you were to Google past life regression, there is a plethora of information on it, and it can be very easily achieved
Yeah.
through therapy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I
It's an
wanted to
amazing
mention
step.
I don't yeah, I wanted to mention I don't connect like people's like past lives and maybe spirit guides or things like that because I pride myself on being an evidential medium, and that's not something that you would be able to verify. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
True. Yeah.
when I bring 3D details in a reading, I want it to be stuff that is factual and true versus, and there's no way for anyone to verify those things. So
Yeah, that's
that makes
true.
sense. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, how long is your wait list?
I'm currently scheduling for November, so
That's not
that's
too bad.
good. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Tiffany, and have a great night. Actually, it's still afternoon for them out in California, right? With a
Right.
3-hour time difference. So have a great late afternoon. So yeah, that was interesting. Do you teach classes on mediumship? So tell us a bit about that and what your
Yeah,
technique
so
is.
I teach privately, and right now I'm teaching through the Journey Within Spiritualist Church out of New Jersey. So that's an online class, and I'm teaching beginner's mediumship. It's a three part series, and it repeats every 3 Mondays. So three classes repeats again, three classes repeats again, and it's a really great class. It's a fun class where you get the fundamentals and understand how to use the psychic senses, how we get information from spirit, and gives you the basics. So.
Oh, very cool. Give me a second. Let me
Sure.
just so your book that you just showed, can you show it for our audience members again, just a little
Here it
bit?
is. Got a glare
You are
on it.
so beautiful.
So beautiful. Yep.
And when did you come out with that? When was that published?
So it was last, gosh, it's been a year now. Yeah, last
Been a year.
September. And the interesting, I think it's interesting is, I introduced a concept that was shared, by my team of light called, well, I call them the solitude. So what it is, everybody,
Solitude.
yeah, and what they are different levels of awareness to your soul's true purpose, its true destiny. And we all go through these. So, for instance, you want to be in the clear solitude. I've given them five solitudes, all with C names. So clear, confused, committed, compromised, and closed. Okay. So the clear, of course, is everybody that, so first of all, we're souls, right, that inhabit human bodies, right, physical bodies. And everyone that's a soul, when they have their purpose, they come into the human body that they've chosen, they know what their purpose is. But then our human lives take over and we forget. We forget that, what that was. So for me, three near-death experiences woke me up. Some people never discover it because they miss the signs, or they're close to it, or they're in their situations. Maybe they're compromised, meaning they know what they want to do. Like, I knew I wanted to be a medium, but I had another job that paid the bills. I had family to take care of, kids to raise, parents to take care of, right? I couldn't do this work at that time, so I was compromised. Or maybe people are suffering from addiction, or some kind of physical or mental, infliction, or it's somebody that they're living with that has these problems that brings their energetic field down, right? And makes them in a situation where they're closed. They can't get out of their situation. We all go through these, right? We come in clear, we want to leave clear, meaning we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. So my book illustrates this using my own story, how I move through these different levels of soul progression called the solitudes. And the purpose of me writing, I didn't want to just write my story. I wanted to give people sort of a handbook of why am I repeating the same patterns? Why am I in these relationships that never work? Why am I in a job that's not fulfilling, for me? All these questions, like, why am I here? What is my purpose? That's what the solitudes help you understand. Understanding them, understanding where you are now in your life. And then you can look back and say, wow, that's why this happened. That's why I walked away from that. That's why, I was supposed to play Major League Football and I broke my leg and now I'm a veterinarian and I love it, right? Things that happen and lessons are often blessings, and we don't realize it. So this book kind of shows you the way to kind of reflect back by using my story. We'll take a look at it and then reflect on your own and say, oh yeah, now this makes sense to me. I know where I am now, what level, and I know what I need to do to get out of this level to get where I need to be.
Fantastic. And that's for our listeners, that's available on
Oh
Amazon if they
yeah,
want it.
Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Books a
Barn.
Million. It's in like 15 different countries.
Oh, fantastic.
Ebook, paperback. Yeah, definitely you can find it. Yeah.
Do you have it translated to different languages as well?
Yes, it's in different languages. I think it's in Italy, it's in Spain, it's in France, it's in Japan, it's in different
Wow.
countries.
That's Wow, that's really good. Good stuff. So, how do the loved ones on the other side, do they grieve? Do they miss us? Like being, how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I always, my belief system is that those emotions are human emotions. And I believe that when everybody passes, we all transcend to the same place, but just at different energy levels, depending on how you lived your life here, okay? But on the other side, there's nothing but love and light. That's all it is. If you had a bad relationship with somebody and they're angry or they're upset, they don't have that anymore. So they miss us from a soul connection type of, that physical connection while we're here. But I don't believe that they grieve on the other side because they're in such a beautiful place. They're in that state of love and light. So it's us that are doing the grieving, right? It's like I always say, we worry about them, but we don't need to worry about them. They're doing great.
Okay. No, that's good. That's good to know. All right. Well, listen, tell us a little bit about your website and how people can get a hold of you, and let's dedicate the last couple of minutes to give, to help you
Sure.
out, right?
Yep, my website is www.meaningfulmessages.info. So meaningfulmessages.info. You can also reach me by email at connie psychicmedium@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram,
Yep.
psychic medium Connie Fusella, and I'm on Facebook under Meaningful Messages with Connie Fusella.
Fantastic. So this hour has flown by. It's
Yes.
over pretty much. So
Yeah.
want to thank you so much for joining us on our show, and want to remind everybody we'll be here again next month. I was supposed to do a show last month, but I had a colonoscopy scheduled the next day, so I had
Oh,
to drink
geez.
that liquid, and I
Oh
was in
yeah, no,
no
that's
shape
not
to
a good
be on a
idea.
show.
Yes.
Bob, I called Bob up the day of the show. Bob, I didn't think about this one too much in advance, but this is the
Right.
situation. And he was laughing. Oh my God,
Oh my gosh,
he was
that's
cracking
funny.
up. Anyhow, it is what it is. Thank you so
Right.
much, Connie. It was great meeting you for the first time, and I can't wait to have you back on the show again. That would be
All
great.
right. Thank you, Roman. You take care.
You take care too, and good night, everybody.
Good night.